You would remain standing, please, and open up your scripture to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, we'll be reading the first 10 verses today. This is found on page 1487 and continuing on to 1488 in the Bibles provided. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Hear the word of the Lord. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Thus is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. I apologize, it's been a while since we've been in Revelation, but we pick it back up where we left off. And I want to remind you where we were. Remember, we're in this last vision, and in this last vision, it starts at chapter 16 and goes all the way to the end, and it's designed in such a way that it's an explanation of that sixth and that fifth vial, and the seventh, of course, as well, which brings the end. And so the fifth vial was explained in greater detail in chapters 17 and 18. The seat of the Antichrist is unsettled, and he must flee. And then you have the great whore being torn to pieces at the very end of that fifth vial. And you have in 19 the beginning of that last vial, that sixth one before the last one. The sixth vial being poured out in chapter 19 and the detail of that being parallel with what was in 16. And so we see here that in the beginning of this vial, you have this great exaltation, and something happens here, which we learned about in chapter 16, but we're given more detail here. In 16, we learned about that vial being the drying up of the Euphrates and the ingathering of the Jews, and then the end will come after that seventh vial, and the rest of the Gentiles are gathered in after the Jewish church has come in and been provoked to do so. She is able to do so because of the unseating of the Antichrist. Once the papacy has been removed, that which they were able to distinguish the Jews between the papal church and the true Christian church, but now she can. And she sees the great advance of the kingdom, and she is able to finally be entreated to the marriage supper of the Lamb once again. She was once before, Matthew 22, but she rejected that invitation, and they were cut off. But now she is as one dead, she's as one widowed who comes back. and comes back into the church. And this is why there's so much Hebrew here. Yes, this was written in Greek, but we have Hebrew words which are transliterated into Greek. Alleluia is a Hebrew word. And this is appropriate as you have alleluia from earth being rejoiced at the church with its Jewish ingathering is exalting God. And then you have alleluia from heaven where you have the Jews who have been gathered to their fathers awaiting this ingrafting back in of the people who say alleluia as well. And that's why it says, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Because his power can only be praised as you consider the cutting off of the people. But yet this now engrafting here at the end. And then you have a most amazing thing happening at verse 7. You have this great rejoicing as the church is almost instantly doubled by the size of the Jewish believers. And they're going out. And the marriage supper of the Lamb, the bride has prepared herself. This is, of course, the church, but specifically it's taking aim at that which has responded at this time, which is the Jewish church. It went to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And now she has made herself ready. She's finally responded to the invitation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's why she is said to be clothed with the righteousness of saints. Not like in any papal idea of like a treasury of saints' righteousness. No, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which the Gentile saints have, now become that of the Jews. Isn't that amazing? The righteousness of the saints is now gathered together. And you got Jew and Gentile together in the strength of the church to do that last portion of the conquering of the earth for the sake of Jesus Christ. But it doesn't come. That revival doesn't come without war. Just like we saw in wilderness in the Sabbath school. So it is true here. And that's what we're going to see next week. But it ends with something that we must be warned about. Be warned. John, in the midst of this great revelation, sins. He falls at the feet to worship an angel. It was perhaps the great vision and the great rejoicing from heaven and from earth. And he goes down and the messenger becomes to him almost like a god. And he falls down to worship him. And this is a great fault. A great fault. So much so that he's rebuked by the angel. He says, you must not do this. And he gives him reasons. And so he doesn't just rebuke him, but he says, I'm your fellow brother. I am one which also has the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I worship him along with you. Showing that Jesus is ruler of the angels. And so, isn't it true? There's a tendency in the church to glorify the messengers of the gospel, to glorify the corporate entity of the church. But yet we cannot worship man. We cannot worship even an angel if he comes and preaches with great wonders. But no, we can worship only Jesus alone. There's no other dude. And this is one which we must be careful of. Because John falls into this sin not once, but twice. Here and then in chapter 22. And so beware. Beware that your worship is only for Jesus Christ and not for any messenger of the gospel.